What's Up Fandom Night, episode 22, What's Up 8. Welcome back to What's Up Fandom Night. Today is William Bush Replay Bill.
Set Level Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. So people, what's up?
Oh, you know, the usual bullshit, you know, work, sleep, playing some games like DCUO and...
Oh man, I'm playing the crap about a DC. When my internet works with... I have something weird going on. See, we didn't want to buy into a full contract because chances are the second one of these houses drops, I'm leaving here.
Yeah.
So the second we get a good deal, we're out of this place. And that's led to a problem because I'm paying for internet month by month.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that I'm basically living off of a hotspot. And while it works most of the time, every now and then it screws up and it doesn't work at all. And
yeah.
DCU, like, one day I'll be on and I'll play all day, like, from the time I can wake up to the time I go to sleep, but I'd never drop once. And then I can get on and I can be like, yes, I'm in a mission! 2 minutes go by, disconnect. Crap. Reboot the entire PS4 just to make sure that I get another try.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in. 2 minutes, disconnect. 2 minutes, disconnect. Two minutes, disconnect. And I'm like, oh, I'm done with this. Gonna play Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, well, at least you guys can still play. I have recently moved into a new place, and I have no internet. Because before, I was living at my dad's. And while living at my dad's, the old man paid for, you know, the full triple play Comcast Xfinity fucking bullshit. So we got, you know, cable plus all the bonus channels, like your HBO and Stars and shit. Then he has a phone service, and then he has, like, the good internet and shit. So I was always connected to the internet. Since I've been at my new place for a week, I haven't really had time to sit down and figure out about internet, other than doing like you're doing, which is to connect to the actual, you know, Wi-Fi hotspot where I'm living at now. And that wouldn't be terrible, because, I mean, shit, me and my roommate could split it easily. Because they have, you know, if you connect to the hotspot, it's supposed to be like $20 a month, or...
No.
You could pay for...
What I'm... The thing I'm doing, the hotspot thing, the Xfinity, it's like... It's actually way expensive. It's like $54 a month, which sucks, because
well,
I could get it cheaper.
Yeah, I think it's because you're actually paying for it month by month. Because when I looked at it, it was like sign up for a year and be able to get like 10 megs for like $20. Or you could pay like $75 for 25 megs for the year. Or you could pay $60 per month and you could get like 75 megs. And I'm like, wait, so to go from 25 to 75, it's actually cheaper for the year? What the fuck? Like, that makes no goddamn sense to me. But at the same time, I think for the 75, I would actually have to have them show up at my apartment and, you know, hook up a box and shit and then run it that way instead of just hooking up to the Wi-Fi hotspot like you're doing. And I'd rather just do the Wi-Fi hotspot because we could get our disembodied voice to set me up with all the shit I would need for it. And it'd probably be cheaper in the long run. But, yeah, like I said, moved into a new place and still haven't really unpacked much other than clothes. And I set up my computer and got pissed off because one of my other boxes has my audio cord for my computer. So, the way that my setup is, it's kind of a pain in the ass. I have my PS4 going into my computer monitor. then my computer monitor hooks into my computer through the actual, like, what is it? It's not a VGA cable. It's like the actual computer cable. You know what I mean? That hooks into your video card and all that. But I have a speaker bar. And the speaker bar, I have to hook it into, like, the audio out. And then, like, the audio in, I got to hook up to my computer. So that when if I go to listen to music and that, it all goes that way. Otherwise, I'd have to unplug it from the back of my computer monitor and then plug it into my computer. And yeah, now I can listen to music and watch movies and shit off my PC. But even then, that's pretty much all I'd be able to do is whatever the fuck is already on my computer, I can access it with no internet. I can't help out our disembodied voice, hook up the website or get any of our feeds up and going that need up and going or, you know, updated and whatnot, because I figured, shit, I'm not really going to be doing much. Might as well help him out. Because he's trying to do everything by himself. And not going to lie, coding a website is already a pain in the ass. Then having to do the coding for an RSS feed, since we're doing it all ourselves, even more of a pain in the dick.
It's only five of them.
Yeah, it's
which,
only...
speaking in which,
it's
I'm going to take
five
this...
of them where one
I need
has
to take this moment to drop the contact info. So, you know, contact us. Hey, guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone. Okay, now you know how to get in touch with us.
Yep. But like I said, you know, there's the five feeds. And each one has to be coded twice, one for a normal, like your PodKicker app, which, shameless plugging for PodKicker. I've been doing that off the our wrestling, goddammit.
Jobber Wrestling Corner.
Yeah,
I know.
That we've been doing. But, yeah, so we have to do it once for, like, a normal RSS feed, and then there's the iTunes RSS feed because Apple's goddamn retarded and can't keep up with.
So far, we're not even worried about it. Oh. We haven't been writing anything for the iTunes crap.
Good,
because it's
retarded.
It's overly redundant what they want you to do, and that's fine. I get it. Whatever. That's their system. But right now, we're just not worried about it. The thing we've been doing now is we're just doing the podcast, and we might look into, like, Stitcher or something like that also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know about that, yeah. That's not terrible. But, yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. I moved and then, again, working and sleeping and dealing with the roommate, having her friends over and partying and trying to record via Skype with 4G.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Had to record an episode, like, almost three times, and then...
More awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. So, Scotty, what you been up to?
Well, there's been work. Which, is work.
Yeah.
And then there's also been working on, the things for us, for Jabba Wrestling Corner on the Sentai... videos.
Getting ready for our weekend of hell.
Oh, yeah, we got a weekend of hell coming up. Which officially starts tonight.
Yeah, to put this simply and pull back the curtain, today is April Fool's Day, and tonight we have the NXT Dallas Takeover that we have to review.
One.
Tomorrow we have the
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Two.
And then Sunday, we have to cover WrestleMania, which has a two-hour pregame kickoff, followed by, 5 to 7 hours of wrestling? Yeah. Me and Scotty are going to be hella busy and not really enjoying it like you're going to be enjoying your weekend, Bill Guy.
No enjoyment over here, sir.
Right.
But yeah, there's that coming up, happening coming up. there's also kind of a few things me and Seth have been wanting to do with a Jabba Wrestling Corner with, like, some movie reviews, one of which might bring in Bill.
Yeah, it's true.
What are we talking about?
Well, because one of them has an actor from a TV series we all know and love. But we'll get to that.
David Duchovny?
No. Think of somebody without a finger.
Without a finger? We talking about James Doohan?
You might as well just explain it to him.
James Doohan's missing part of his finger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Backyard Dogs is a...
What did you just say?
Backyard Dogs.
Okay.
Is a movie about backyard wrestling, kind of breaking into professional. But one of the stars was our Mighty Morphin, first Mighty Morphin Black Ranger.
Yep.
Really? Walter's in it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're kind of...
So it might be a possible crossover episode for some Sentai.
That's kind of neat, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a possibility of one of the possible movies that me and Seth could go into review, which actually we have a whole list of movies on, I think, the forum and on Facebook for people to actually try and choose what they want to
see. Yeah, you could actually vote on what we should actually review, which we do have a few criteria for it, which we've explained on the... Jabba Wrestling Corner feed, yeah. So anybody who actually wants to get in on it, you can at least get the feed and listen to the one episode, at least, if you want.
Yeah, which, speaking of which, we're still kind of waiting for Jeremy to post the WrestleMania moments, but...
That's fine.
Yeah.
Sadly, I figured it wouldn't get done, but that's because he's also been dealing with his rig.
Yeah.
Jeremy's PC kind of went boom. So that's another reason why a lot of the feeds haven't been updated as much. Like, that's the reason why we literally only have the Wrestling Corner,
the Sentai,
and then the Pages of Fandom are the only three that are up, because our disembodied voice was working on getting everything going, and then PC went boom. So, like I said, that's another reason why I'm trying to get my shit together, so I could actually help him.
And then... Also, I recently recorded an episode of Action Video Game Talk that covers the uncovered Final Fantasy 15 unveiling of some news articles and stuff, including the official release date.
Yeah.
Shane bought the $280 game.
Yeah, the Ultimate Collector's Edition.
Look, it looked cool. I did look at it. It comes with the anime, it comes with the movie, it comes with... like a 190-page art book. It comes with the... No, it's not a statue. It's the Play Arts figure, the limited edition Play Arts figure. It comes with the game. It comes with, it said, multiple metal cases of different characters. So you could pick the case you want the most.
Yeah.
Like, it looked really cool. I was looking at it, and I was like, that's awesome. But I have not been knocked out by a Final Fantasy since 10. That means Final Fantasy 10, I enjoyed a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 10 2, it was okay.
Yeah,
now, I was
about to say, that's another reason why, going back to our other shows, like, in the legacy of gaming, I know that's the reason why 10 and 10 2 actually got fairly decent scores, was because we were still slightly on our hype train dick of, oh, well, the re-releases just came out.
And boobies.
Well, yes, and boobies, but that's more for 10-2.
Well, like, okay, like, there was 10-2, 11, I didn't like 11, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
12, 13, which everybody's heard...
everybody's butt heard about.
Go to the legacy of gaming, okay?
I was about 13. To say, because I know for 13, I wasn't here for that episode, so
13s.
I couldn't give my score, because it would have gotten a little bit better. It literally wouldn't have been last on the list, but because I wasn't here to try to help be like, okay, it's not terrible, but it's not fucking amazing. The only good thing about 13 was the fact that literally it took aspects from every game before it.
Yeah, but see, I'm on my sixth attempt. My sixth attempt to play the game, and... even to spice it up, I just moved to the Xbox hoping that maybe if I played it like an old game, disc to disc, I would feel like I was making more accomplishment. Like, disc two! And I got to disc two and I haven't turned it back on. So I was incorrect. I can't play it. And then they gave me 13-2, and then they gave me 13-3, which is Lightning Returns, and then they gave me 14, thanks, and then they remade 14, and from what I could see, 14 is good. But that doesn't change the fact that that's 10-2, 11, 12, 13, 13, 13, and 14. That's seven games in a row that I don't care about. So yeah. To me, Final Fantasy is a failing franchise, and there's no way in hell I'm going to pay $280 for a collector's edition of a failing franchise. Now, I will be buying the game. The day it comes out, I will buy the game, and I will play it. Yeah. And hopefully, I will enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah, a lot of us will probably be buying the game once it comes out on September 30th of this year.
I was about to say, I might wait until one of you guys are done playing it or give the fuck up and be like, just let me borrow it for a while and I'll try it out. Because, like I said, 13 and 13-2 were like the last Final Fantasies that I actually got up off my ass and tried.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I take that back. I tried 14 of Realm Reborn for the beta, but didn't give a shit enough to go back to it because it was an MMO, and like most MMOs, they want you to pay a subscription fee to keep playing it.
Don't remind me.
And it has to really be a damn good game for me to pay money to play it.
Yeah, like DCUO. I went out of my way to buy 3 months worth of membership because we got to playing it, and yep. I had played it before you guys were like, let's get on this shit, fucking play some DC, and I was like, I played that back in the day when I first got my PS4. It wasn't terrible.
What's been keeping me on that game is the, dude, that game is so fan service, dude. Man, yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, if you actually read comic books, that game is so fan service. It's so hardcore. Like if you kill a Yellow Lantern or a Green Lantern in that game, it actually does the call sign where it actually says, Green Lantern 28917, deceased. Green Lantern ring 28917, searching for sentient replacement. And it'll actually send the ring up into the sky. Yep. Like, dude, that's what the books actually do.
Yep.
And then, the events, like the, whatever they are, the, instances.
Oh, yeah.
Every single instance is taken from something that happened in the books that you get to relive, and holy crap,
except
dude, some
for,
of it is amazing.
The Christmas instance. That
no,
we
that
had.
Happened.
No, I know it happened, but you're not going to live through it.
Right, but no, that really happened. There was a book where Larfleeze heard about this creature on Earth known as Santa Claus, and he heard that Santa Claus gives presents to those that have been good. So,
but Larfleeze,
no, Larfleeze went on his best behavior for an entire year and wrote a ridiculously substantial Christmas list. We're talking like the longest, like the picture is ridiculous where he's sitting there writing it.
That's because he's greed. He wants
but
everything.
He writes this ridiculous Christmas list. It covers like his whole house that he's in, and he sends it to Santa Claus. He gets nothing. So he deems that the creature known as Santa Claus will now die. So Larfleeze is actually on a mission in the comic books to destroy Christmas and kill Santa Claus. That's a real thing in the comics. So when they added it as an event,
it was pretty pimp.
Yeah.
Until you get to trying to fight Larfleeze and, yeah, we kind of got boned on.
But that's the reason I love that game so much, is because there's so many things that I can pick out that I'm actually reading in the books. Like, it's so nostalgic.
Or
it's ridiculous,
with fucking
dude.
Fucking Mixie Plix's bullshit for St. Paddy's Day. That was, it was fun, but oh my God, was that so weak sauce.
I'm looking forward to, I'm working on my levels right now with my Green Lantern, because I saw that one of the instances is the War of Light. I want
oh,
to
yeah.
do that so bad.
Yeah, I need to work on my levels so I can catch up with you guys, seeing as how Greg's got a level 106, Richie's got 110.
Greg went with me trying to help me, because I told him I've been having terrible luck with these drops. And he was like, well, let's do some instances. We did 10 instances, and I got one piece of armor. I went from 64 to 66.
Yeah, that's the shit that gets obnoxious, because it's either save up all your marks of victory to buy shit or run the actual raids. And if you run the raids, you can get some good shit out of it, but the problem is most of the shit that you're going to get out of it is either weapons you can't use or rolls that do nothing for you. I'm a healer. I keep getting tank shit and controller shit, and I'm
and
like,
you can't
what
trade
the
it.
Fuck?
You can't trade it.
It's literally character locked.
I did figure out what you're supposed to be doing with that stuff, though.
Selling it for money?
No. That's it. See, everybody's been doing that, and it hit me. There's another thing you can do. You know how we keep doing the exobits and everything?
Yeah.
Well, you can take pieces of armor that you're never going to be able to trade or sell or do anything with and take it over to that thing and break it down for materials.
Motherfucker.
You can destroy all that tank equipment and break it down for materials to build your own shit up.
God damn it.
I know.
And of course you would tell me this now that I don't have internet.
Exactly.
So I can't test it out for myself and figure out what the fuck I need to do with it.
Enjoy.
God damn it.
Speaking of break it down materials, that's something else I've been working on is Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the DLC out and dealing with Fallout 3 characters and Fallout 4.
Mostly, I'm at the point in the DLC mission where I have to build...
Hold on. Spoiler alert for anybody who's not playing Fallout 4 and has not yet gotten the DLC and has not yet completed this shit, which I don't see why you wouldn't have, but...
I've heard a lot.
Damn you! Why you tell me everything?
Well, technically, this isn't going to tell you everything. It's just going to tell you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like living with Nick again.
I'm at the point where I have... You know what? I'm just doing what Shredder and Krang did. I'm having to build a body for a brain.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I don't have enough materials to build a robot body.
Speaking of which, the new Turtles is coming out.
Oh,
did you
yeah.
see it? They're all like wearing spacesuits and shit. Uh-huh. They're finally going to space.
Yeah.
Dude, fucking sweet.
Well, we have to specify there. That's for the cartoon.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Because everybody's like, well, yeah, we already fucking know that from the movie. Wait, they're going to space in the movie? No, assholes. We're talking about the Nickelodeon cartoon, which is going to be 1,000 times better than both movies combined. Moving on.
But yeah, I'm stuck. I was stuck trying to get all this material stuff to build the robot stuff, but instead it's like, fuck this, I'll go back to it, go back to the main story mode that I'm now going back into by way of finding the railroad place, doing some of the quests there. And also, I've downloaded the new Platinum demo, the newest Final Fantasy XV demo, which...
And I watched your stream of it and kind of laughed my ass off because you kept getting, like, stuck at random places, and I'm like...
But it was fun. It was funnish. I mean, the only issue I had was when he got to the boss at the end.
Yeah, sadly, I was skipping around on that because I had to go to work and forgot to go back and watch the full thing. But
yeah, the boss was being a bit of a pain in the butt for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a fun little demo to play around with, and... From what I heard, if you play through this demo and beat it, and I was able to beat it in under 40 minutes...
You get Carbuncle when you start the original game, the actual game.
Yeah, the actual little creature thing.
Yeah, that's be cool. That's who's actually running around helping you out, because I was looking at it like, who the fuck is that supposed to be? And after like 20 minutes of looking at this little dog with a horn, I was like, oh fuck, that's supposed to be Carbuncle, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to set it to download before we go downtown. Because after we do an episode or two of this, I'm going to look through those games there, decide on whether or not they get to stay in the collection, and if they suck, they get to go to Mega Replay because that's where they belong. Like, okay, here's the thing. Now that we've moved to all podcast, it's no longer relevant unless the game is awesome bad, like Battle Arena Toshiden. I don't see a reason to keep it because we're not going to be like, oh, well, we need to get video capture for that, because we could talk about bad games whenever we want to, and we don't need the video capture to do it, so it doesn't have to sit on my shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bad game now.
And it's funny that you keep saying bad game, because lately before I go to bed after I get home from work, like, before I moved, I literally ran through the Sentai costumes again, just literally was watching them before bed. Now I've been going back and watching all the AVGN episodes.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah. That's been fun.
Some of those, dude, I still think the funniest one he's ever done was the Rob the Robot.
Yeah.
There's something about the whole thing is so funny. That was like masterful comedy. Out of all the episodes he's done, that one makes me laugh the hardest because there's that part where it keeps being like, he's like, all right, let's play this game. And then he's like, need gyro. And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, you need a fucking gyro? Need gyro. And he's like, ugh. So he gets up, and he goes, and he makes a big-ass motherfucking sandwich, and he rolls it up, and he comes back, and he's like, here. And he's like, no, you idiot. That's not a gyro. And he's like, I tried.
Like, well, you want me to go to fucking... like, need gyros, check box.
And he's like, oh, okay. So he goes and he does all that, and then he plays with the robot. And yeah. The robot is awful, and it's not fun to play with the robot at all. And, like, while he's playing, you can see him looking over at the robot while the robot takes his time to push the button, like, deet, doot, deet, doot, deet, doot, deet, pushed one button. And then he's like, ah, close the door, close the door, close the door. And he's like, jeet, jeet, jeet.
And he's already dead.
And he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, damn it. So then there's this fucking hysterical part where he's like, you know what? Fuck this. He's like, you be the guy. He gives the controller to the robot. And then he turns around and he sets all the gyro stuff. And he's doing the jeet, jeet, jeet. And he's like, oh, you like that? You think it's fucking... That episode makes me laugh every fucking time, dude. That one was brilliant.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Have one you seen and Mario 3?
He teamed up with the Nostalgia Critic to do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles review.
Uh-huh.
It is hysterical because they go through like the legacy of the Turtles, and at one point they're in the Turtles 1 game, and they're in the sewers,
and
the water's running underneath of them. And there's all this shit everywhere, and he's like, jump up there. And he's like, I can't jump up there. And he's like, just jump up there. And he's like, there's shit everywhere. And he's like, just jump, dude. So he jumps, and he's like, boop. And then he falls in the water, and he's like, oh, great. Great. Now I'm drowning. And he's like, well, just swim. And he's like, I can't swim. And he's like, what
the shit? You're a turtle.
Dude, it's fucking hysterical, dude.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But, yeah, that's mostly what I've been up to.
That and reporting to us about all the Final Fantasy shit that's been going on.
When,
like,
when it was
before
happening during...
you get a chance to actually sit down and play your remake of FF7, you have to go to SquareEnix.com and watch 13 mini-episodes so they can explain the story of Final Fantasy VII to you. Or is that something for 15? Because I remember you saying that there's mini episodes going up.
Yeah, there's a slight animated series for 15.
Okay. 15 is having a mini series anime, which is 5 episodes.
And they're all going to be posted on YouTube for free, aren't
and
they?
All for free, yeah. They're all, so far they're all.
YouTube downloader.
Yeah, no.
So far they're all dubbed, so you do have subtitles. But yeah, they're
but Nick will never see it then, because if it's in Japanese and you have to read the words at the bottom, then fuck that. I just want to watch my show.
Yeah, he said that he had to watch the Persona anime like 4 times. He had to watch it enough times to read it enough times to have it memorized so that he could watch it one time without reading it so he could actually watch it. His eyes, like, okay...
are retarded.
Well, the way that he does it, like, when he... when he watches a show, if there are words at the bottom, he can't stop himself. His eyes will focus on those words, and he'll just read the movie instead of actually watching it and reading it. Like, he can't double focus.
Yeah.
So he despises not just, like, translations, but subtitles in general. Because even if it's a movie in English, if you put subtitles, I've done it to him just to mess with him while he's over here. I've turned the subtitles on. And he'll just, you can see him, he'll be staring at the bottom of the screen instead of watching the movie.
He's going to be pissed at the demo then.
Yeah.
Because there's some subtitles.
Well, no, because on the demo you get the chance to, because you turn subtitles on, you can also pick speaking voice. Because I did the same thing when I was running through playing the Tales game. God, I can't think of what fucking name it is. It's the newer one that came out. I think it was like from last year. But anyway, because you get the choice of whether you want to hear the American actors or the Japanese actors. And when it comes to my Tales games, I would much rather hear the Japanese and read it than fucking listen to our American actors while it's going. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't have a problem the first time when I played Symphonia because, you know, the voice actors they got for that were pretty good. But all my other ones, nah, fuck that. Like, the American voice actors may be good, top-notch, like hardcore anime, like, do all the voice acting in every fucking anime type of voice actors. But fuck it, I'd rather hear the Japanese.
Well, with the demo, I did have the option to choose the language, but the only subtitle that came up for me was when the little thing was talking. That's it.
Oh, yeah, when Carbuncle's talking, yeah. But that's because he doesn't actually speak. Like, with most of the summons, it's usually like,
yeah, it's blah, like, blah, blah, what
and then you gotta fucking read
it's like,
what's
what
going on.
What language do you want this in? It's like, of course I'm gonna select English.
Yeah.
French. So that every time it talks, you're like, damn it, you gotta get out your phone and use that translator thing.
Oh, you mean like I was doing earlier?
Yep.
But
that's still the greatest thing ever because as a shout out to a friend of ours who's been commenting on our shit a lot. And for Shane's girlfriend, because that's the funniest shit ever. We let her listen, like, the first time she came over here. We let her listen to some of Shane Butcher's name.
Wait, only some?
Yes, only some.
Not the full thing?
I think we might have done the full audio for it. I might have let her listen to that. But it was like, so here's the word that he can't say. The Nininger is how he pronounced it. Here's how it should sound. If that actually picked it up.
It sounded like Niniga.
Well, you're saying it wrong because it's Nini.
Niniga.
Nininga.
So, yes. I mean, technically he would have been slightly punched, but, yeah. Like I said, with her knowing Japanese, it's kind of funny because she was literally sitting there like, oh, God, Shane, oh, no, why, ow, brain hurt. And it was like, yeah, that's why we let him butcher name, because it's funny.
But back to the anime, the mini-series anime, the whole, all of it's called Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15, and it takes place, it is a backstory to the game, but they're going to try to get every episode out before the game releases, but right now only the first episode's available, which I have given Bill by way of my little flash drive thing, and Bill can probably get the rest of them once they are posted. But after that, there's also a full CGI movie called Kingsglaive, which is not going to have a theatrical release. It's just going to be like a download digital, and by way of the Uber Collector's Edition.
Yeah, the Uber expensive shit that Shane bought, which means Shane literally, once he gets it, if he hasn't seen any of the rest of it, he's literally going to have to open it, put in the movie first, watch the movie, then put in the game.
I don't think
that'll be that big of a deal, though, because I'll bet you there's going to be an install file like a motherfucker for 15.
I think it was also part of the deluxe edition as well, too.
Yeah, that's true, because he could probably watch the movie on his computer while he's waiting for the hella big download off the game disc.
And then there's also some mini-game thing that you could get to by way of the iDevices, Androids, and It was kind of like a pinball type of game, but
that's right.
Anyway, moving on. Because I guess that's Scotty's two-week recap.
Pinball.
More like one.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. For the first time in a long time, basically the only thing I have been doing is working. Like, that's...
Which is kind of weird.
They changed some stuff at work that made the job a lot different, and it's been tough to figure out exactly how to pace myself, so I come home and I'm so tired that I just go to sleep, and then I wake up and it's already like 9:40, and then I go and I get my kid, and then I come back and like me and my kid eat, and then I watch maybe like an episode of Daredevil or something, and then I go back to work. So it's been something else. The only thing I've really been doing is I've been reading 75 Years of Green Lantern.
Yeah, no, I see the book sitting right there. I was looking at it, I was like, damn, that's a huge volume for the Essentials type
shit. It takes me a little while to read.
I don't believe that.
But at the same time, I'm also doing something else with that book. See, Shane had mentioned something about the book. He said, there's something missing. There's part of the experience is just wrong, he said. Damn. So I started fixing the experience.
Did you start coloring in the black and white?
God damn it.
I've only run the first title page so far.
Yeah.
But I went and I bought a whole bunch of these art supplies, and I am coloring the showcase myself. And so far, the first title card... It took me a long time to do it, but I did it. Damn it. I did it.
Yeah, I was about to say, it actually looks pretty good other than the water being purple.
Well,
you know. I mean, you know, there must be some toxic shit in the water, but I mean...
No, there's some colorblind in these eyes.
Yeah, it's true.
Wait, let me take a peek at that.
Yeah. I thought it was dark blue myself.
Yeah, it's true. He's got the missile is yellow, so technically Green Lantern can't stop it.
Yeah, because in the in that story, he tries to stop them. Like, the first couple stories are really weird. Like, everything is fucking yellow.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that they can build tension, is they're like, oh no, it's yellow. The world is yellow. What you doing, guy?
I can kind of see some blue, but it's kind of off blue to me.
Oh, for the water?
Yeah.
To me, it was dark blue. It's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, like, legit, the water's, like, purplish, and then you have, like, the bridges is, like, red, which I kind of get, because, you know.
I was going to say the lantern's green is a bit lightish.
It's supposed to be.
Okay. Yeah.
I bought specifically four shades of green. That way the ring, the beam, and the suit are all different forms of green.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been working on, is I'm slowly, like, we're just in my free time if
making
I'm bored.
It, making it so Shane can actually read.
No, I'm just making it color for my own. It's something for me to do.
Yeah. Bill's that's because you're not an inker. You a tracer.
It's my coloring book. My awesome coloring book.
Uh-huh.
And how much did that book cost you when you got it? Did you actually have to pay the full price?
Yes, it did. So it was $20. Most showcases are about $20.
Yeah. But like I said, that means Bill's trying to be an inker, and he's not an inker. He's a tracer.
No, be me a colorist. It's also another way for me to appreciate how much work actually goes into comic books, because nobody really thinks about it, and some people even laugh about it. Like, literally somebody's job in the comic book industry is to color.
Yeah.
Like, we make fun of it like, oh yeah, you know, that's a coloring book, and coloring is coming back now, like a lot of adults are doing coloring. But if you were good enough at it, it's a legitimate job to color, because like, okay, the colorist, he didn't ink it, and he didn't,
click,
you
click.
Know, he didn't ink it, and he didn't,
okay,
because there's a guy that does the illustration, there's a guy that does the pencils, there's a guy that does the ink, but he does color. It's all he does is the color. And even with computers now, because of the way that coloring works, you can't just like you can't just like scan this into the computer and do like a drop of like, you know, the blotch can or whatever.
Yeah, you can't take the paint can to it. And
yeah,
click,
you can't do that because comic books are way more extreme than they ever were in the past.
Yeah.
So the way that coloring works now is there is a lot of artistry that goes into them. It is a lot of paints and mixing colors and doing things like that. And then after the actual sheet is colored up correctly, then you scan that into the computer and make digital over that.
You make it digital, and then you can make modifications because they actually have, like, touch screens, like iPad things with, like, styluses that they go back over with it.
But the initial first product...
That's the same way that they do CG and shit for,
the initial first product, though, is that they scan the page, print it out for themselves... And some of these artists go the extra mile. They actually get paints and markers and things like that, and they go over the entire page by hand, then scan it in and work it from there.
Yep.
So it is a lot more work than people realize, and just doing that one page took a long time.
I can believe that.
Like, it was literally like a 20-minute project of just sitting here, switching to this pencil, switching to that pencil, really looking at the lines and figuring out, like, is that water, is this, is that this? Because you also don't want to miss color. Like, you have to know that, like, you have to know your characters pretty well, too. Like, in the original Green Lantern, the boots are green and the gloves are white.
Yep.
And that threw me off when I very first went to color, because instinctually I was going to make it green gloves.
Yep.
And when I was about to do that, I started looking through the original artwork for a second, and I was like, oh, shit.
Wait, the boots were green?
Yeah, the boots are green. The original boots are green.
I remember the boots and the gloves being white.
Nope. Green. The original Green Lantern, his boots are green.
Yeah, the boots are green. His actual suit is green, other than, like, the black pieces. And then the lantern symbol, everything other than the actual lantern
is white,
including the gloves are white.
But I don't know why, but for some reason I thought the gloves and the boots were white.
Because it's changed over the years.
Yeah.
So there's one point in the history where they were white, and then there's another point in the history where the greens and the boots and the gloves are green.
Yeah. So the only thing that's white on him is, like, the actual symbol.
And then there's even one part where he started, like, not wearing gloves at all.
Yeah.
So he just has his hands out.
Yeah, that's about the time of, like, the John Stewart run.
Yeah.
They, like, quit wearing gloves, so that way then the ring would just be on their fingers.
So, like, depending on what Green Lantern you're working on, really changes the way that you're coloring. And I also plan to, now that I bought all the art supplies and whatnot, I'm actually interested, I'm going to dig out my Spider-Man books and kind of play around with them, too. For some reason, I'm actually enjoying it, because truth be told, I'm never going to be a part of the comic book industry. At least I don't believe so. I would really have to break my ass, and I would probably have to get in independently. There's no way that I'm going to end up, like, working for Marvel or something. Like, it's not going to happen. But,
well, technically, if some shit were to come along and somehow we could break into Hollywood, I mean, that's how other people have found ways to get into the comic book industry.
Well, like, if I was ever given the opportunity to write some stories for some stuff, I do have ideas. But it's really tough. You, like, having an idea is one thing. I'm more of a realist when it comes to just how lottery it is to make it, like, to make it big. Chances are I can enjoy my life, but I need to be under the pretense that I need to, like, I'm going to work and I'm going to enjoy what I get.
Yeah.
Because I have no issue with chasing your dreams, But you have to be realistic about it. Like, the world is not going to hand you something, and it's going to be a lot of work to get something that you want. And I realize that.
Yeah.
And I don't consider the work that I do wasted time. Like, right now, I'm doing a project where I am doing colorist stuff, and I'm going to teach myself how to do shaders and all kinds of stuff like that, just for the sake of I know how to do it. I taught myself how to draw anime. That's 1 year's progress. All I did was draw one picture every single day for a year. I taught myself how to draw anime.
Yep.
I can do these things. The chance that I'll ever get an opportunity to do them professionally is very slim. But I'm okay with that.
You could always try doing one of our favorite manga artists, what he did. Pull a crimson. And,
it just is what it is. Like, and then there are guys that are immensely talented that I see at the cons, when I go to the cons, and all they do is artwork. Like, I have them all over the apartment, like artist renderings, and these guys are amazingly talented, and they're not working in the comic book fields or the manga fields. They're just, like, drawing pictures, and then they got guys that sell their artwork at the con, and hopefully they make some money. Yep. And if they're lucky, they might get commissioned by, like, Boom Studios to do, like, the cover of a Power Rangers, you know, comic book. But that's all they do is the one cover image, and then it's back to the drawing board. You know, they're not actually working for the industry. So while I hope that someday I'll get to write one of my stories or something, I'm not working myself up for it. If it happens, I love it, and I do have my ideas, but I don't know. Yeah. Like, I have some really good ideas for, like, people were talking about this rebirth thing, and here's my problem. A lot of people got mad because they changed Wally West to a black guy. You know what? While I'm not mad, I agree. He shouldn't be a black guy. I'm sorry. I don't care. And look, if you want to put a racist tag on me, you could do that. I don't see why you would, but you could do that. He's not a black guy. He shouldn't have been a black guy. And I think it's disrespectful also to the community at large, and not just comic book community, but if you want to get technical, it's disrespectful to black guys to take a white guy character and turn him black because there's no successful black hero for them. You know what they could have done? They could have done something through the Green Lantern Corps, because they're about to do this rebirth thing. They could have had something happen where the willpower of the ring during an event where, let's say, like right now, Hal Jordan has the gauntlet. Let's say Hal Jordan gets shot. It hits the gauntlet, and the gauntlet ruptures and releases a bomb of willpower that goes off. Now, this bomb of willpower hits Barry while Barry's in motion, trying to get people out of the way of stuff other stuff that's going on. Because maybe it's an invasion. There's like lasers going everywhere. A robot type of invasion, because it's comic books.
Yeah.
Now, as one robot is shooting at a black guy, a kid, Wally, not Wally, but Barry could get hit by that green wave. As soon as it hits him, lightning arcs off of him and hits like 20 people. All 20 of those people immediately become speedsters. But the black kid that the beam was heading at, he ran first. He was like, oh shit! And without thinking about it, he went to run from the beam, and the second his foot goes down, all the arc lightning that went to everybody else arcs back onto him. And somehow, the combination of will, desire to live, and Barry's power opens up a new gate in the Speed Force. You have a new black character. He's a speedster.
Yep.
It would have been that simple to do a story. You didn't have to take a white character and make him black so that there were more black superheroes. I hate when they do this shit. And the reason I hate it is because it's not creative. Okay? If you are told by your distributor that it is wrong, and it is wrong to believe that every fucking hero is a good old white boy. It is wrong.
Yeah.
But you can't make a fucking character? Look at, like, you know the way you do it? Simon Baz. Simon Baz is a Hispanic character. Well, I'm sorry, he's Arabic, I believe.
I think so.
I believe he's Arabic. I apologize.
I was about to say, you also got to remember, it's been many a moon since I've read a comic. I just know base storylines.
As soon as I said, like, Hispanic, I don't even know why I said that. I apologize. Yeah. But regardless, all they did was he steals a van. So he's not necessarily a good guy, but that's not saying that he's a bad guy. He steals a van. He's actually, that's all he's doing is boosting a van. Then he discovers that in the back of the van that he boosted, because he's driving it, and he starts hearing this noise, there's a bomb in the back of the van. When he jumps out of the van explodes. Well, immediately, he looks like, you know, this whole terrorist thing that's going on right now. And they immediately point fingers at him because of what he is.
Yep.
And immediately, like, during this whole thing, he's at the police station and all this shit is going on, and they're telling him, they're trying to ask him, you know, why this and what's that and what was your goal and blah, blah, blah. And they have all these FBI agents coming in, and he's like, all I did was boost the van. He's like, I'm telling you, all I did was steal the van. There's somebody out there that's going to hurt people. We need to find that person, not me. And they're like, yeah, I'm sure. We need to find that person. Well, that person is sitting in front of me. And a green ring shoots through the window and goes onto his finger. And he becomes a Green Lantern. He immediately breaks himself out because he's going to go find the guy that the van belonged to. And you have the beginnings of Simon Baz, who, by the way, is a pretty awesome character. Like, he just works. And now that he has this power and he can help the world in a way, and some of his pettiness about, you know, making his own money and doing his own thing kind of fell away, and it changed who he was, and he sees the universe in a bigger light, and it's interesting. And you know what? Simon Baz was never a white guy.
Yep.
They didn't take a good old white boy and change his ethnicity so that they could get a new superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to do that. When John was put into the comic books, they didn't have to create a white guy and turn him into a black guy. It was the 70s. They wrote a black guy.
Yep.
And you know what? He worked. John Stewart worked for his time. He was very interesting in the original books. And the remakes of him so far have also been good. He is a legitimate mainstay character that's not going anywhere. For me, myself, he's probably one of my least favorite Lanterns, but I respect that he's there, and I see the legitimacy of his character, and I also appreciate the fact that he wasn't originally a white guy.
Yeah.
Something about that bothers me.
The only thing about John that I didn't like was the fact that he has, like, no imagination, so most of his
shit is weak. I figured out why. He's an architect.
Because he's from the military?
He's an architect. And
The
ring works differently for different people. John has to, when John forms a construct, he thinks it out piece by piece, mechanism by mechanism. He writes it in his brain so he knows every single moving and functioning part on a gun.
Yep.
So he makes the gun. Kyle Rayner makes a big dragon that shoots fire. Well, you see, John Stewart doesn't know how a dragon would work. So we can't make the dragon.
Okay, so that makes more sense.
So he makes things like handcuffs, cranes, like things that he knows that he can build in his mind brick for brick. Yep. And it also makes his constructs very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're built from the inside out, piece by piece, bolt by bolt. It also means that he uses a lot more energy than most other people.
Yeah.
Like, When other people, they put their hand out and they're like, pew, and they shoot a straight line. Well, he can do that, but he knows that in the way his mind works, putting his hand out and shooting a straight line, there's no way, there's no mechanism there, so he doesn't see it as very powerful. So it's not very powerful. But if he can craft a bazooka in his mind, and he knows all the working parts and understands the foundation of what he's built, he could push more power through it because that's how his mind works.
Yep.
So he could make his arm the bazooka.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he would get a lot more power from it because he believes he would get more power from it.
Yeah. Like I said, I always figured it was just because he was military. That's why a lot of his shit is like guns and shit.
Well, he is military also.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, because he's military, I figured that's why he's just running around with, like, guns and shit all the time, whereas everybody else is just like, do this crazy thing, do this crazy thing, here's a boxing glove, here's a train, and he's just
yep.
like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit back here, and here's a shoulder-mounted minigun, and here's another shoulder-mounted minigun, and
yep.
here's a fucking M16
See,
mowed
now,
down parallax.
Now, before he can make a train, because of the way his mind works, he's actually going to have to know how to make a train. Because he's going to build the train in his mind, part for part, bolt for bolt.
And again, there's a reason why I'd probably be a better Green Lantern than half the Green Lanterns out there. I just think of shit and just be like, psh, done.
Yeah, that's what Kyle Rayner does.
Yeah.
He just, like, he sees a fire and he knows firemen put them out, so he makes a fireman and sprays green energy that works like water.
Yep.
He just does that because
yeah.
that's the way he sees the world. He's like, there's a fire, I need firemen. So he creates four giant firemen that just kind of spray a hose down on the building.
Instead of being smart and making a giant fire extinguisher that can, done.
See, and where... Yeah. Where if you look at Hal Jordan, that's what Hal Jordan would do. Hal
yep.
Jordan is more, he's more basic. He doesn't think elaborately. He just thinks, what's the most efficient thing I could do right here? A giant pail of water. Wow! And he just drops a green pail of water on the building.
Yep.
Because that's the way he thinks. So the ring works different for every person.
Yep. But at least he makes more sense, so he gets boosted a little bit more in my mind now.
And then... Where, like, Guy Gardner, they explain how his ring works. He just sees it as power. He understands constructs, but most of the time, he's like a running faucet.
Yep.
He just turns it on, puts his hand out, and energy expels from the ring. And the higher he turns the faucet on, the more energy pours out of the ring. That's how he understands it.
Yep.
So you'll see that when he shoots energy, it's not like Hal Jordan shoots a straight line.
Yep.
You'll notice that John Stewart shoots he'll shoot a straight line, but mostly it's coming from something.
Yeah.
And then you go over to Kyle Rayner, and Kyle Rayner just does stuff. He's very much a manga artist, and sometimes the constructs that he's using will change during the course of him even using them.
Yeah.
Because, like, he'll create, like... Like, he'll create that fireman, and as the fireman is spraying water down onto the building, he'll still be drawing the fireman.
Yep.
So he's still even modifying the construct while the construct is working, because
yep.
he's not satisfied, because he's an artist. And then you get to Guy Gardner, and Guy Gardner is like, I need more power, I turn the faucet up. Bam! And it looks very much like distorted running water, almost.
Yeah.
Like what you would see coming out of a faucet. So their powers all work differently. Like, there's one guy, I'm trying to remember his name, Thal or something like that. He's this big, giant, crazy rock dude, Hanu. I think his name is Hanu.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he doesn't like the ring at all. He hates the thing. He despises the fact that he even wears it for the most part because he sees his own strength as being dwindled by the fact that he's wearing it. So when he finally decides to turn it on, he does one thing with it. He augments himself. He knows himself.
Yep.
And he knows the power that he's capable of. So if he needs a bigger hand, or if he needs to be able to jump faster or throw his fist harder, he just assumes, well, the ring can do that for me.
Yep. Pull back, make a rocket on my elbow,
no.
and punch.
No, he'll just like jump. And he'll go green, and then when he hits, he'll hit with a lot more force because the ring wills him to hit with more force than he actually has, and it works.
Eh, True.
He knocked down the anti-monitor. The anti-monitor turns around in this book, in the Sinestro War, and he turns around and sees them, and Hanu is like, everybody run, I'm turning the ring on. And because up till that point, he hadn't been using the ring. He's just a big dude made of rock, like the Thing. So yep. He's just punching through people. And then all of a sudden, here's the anti-monitor, and he's like, I can't punch through that, but this damn thing on my finger could. And he jumps up in the air, and he does like the Superman punch. He's like, bow! And the ring fucking explodes, and the whole room goes up with green energy, and the anti-monitor actually fell right on his ass. Like, oh, shit!
Which, by the way, since this is radio, when Bill first said that, my eyes got all wide and shit, like, do what?
Yeah, Hanu knocked down the anti-monitor in a single punch. He was like, everybody get out of here. I'm going to turn the ring on. Like, and they were like, okay, we'll be upstairs. Like, fuck that.
Shit. See, now going back to your, you know, you need to be realistic with your goals and shit, like, I've been working on writing a book, and, like, I've been doing it off and on, like, randomly. I'll just decide to pick it up and, you know, write a little bit, and then, like, a year goes by, and I still haven't touched it since that little bit I wrote. But, like, up here in the head, the entire story's damn near written out, or at least the major plot points. Now I've just realized that even though my main character, like, with most books, you know, your main character is, like, the hard-ass bad motherfucker, now I need to make, an even more hardcore badass motherfucker for some crazy shit like that. Because that just sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. Friggin' Hanu.
Holy shit.
And then we're Soren Ignatu. She's different. She's a doctor. So when she uses the ring, like, she uses it with extreme precision. And she'll do things that other lanterns don't do. Like, sometimes before she fights with somebody, she'll create, like, a scanner in front of herself. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be, like, this big green screen where she can immediately see the anatomy or the inside, like an X-ray of the enemy, like, while the fight's going on. Mm-hmm. If Hal's holding the guy's attention, she'll create a scanner and look at the guy medically. And then she'll create a scalpel to, like, take out his tendons or something.
Nice.
So she's very doctor-oriented. So the ring works different for every single person. If all of us got a green ring, all of us would use it differently.
Except when we needed to use it the same. Like, quick, I've got this motherfucker captured in a bubble. Everybody help me hold it together.
Yeah.
And then we'd all just be like, bubble.
And everybody understands that. So there are certain concepts that you could pass on to the average person. Like, look, think of a bubble.
Yep.
Think of a line of energy. And push the energy through. Think of flying. Want to do it? Think about it. Want it. Will it to happen. You'll fly. Mm-hmm. The ring has auto functions. Like, it automatically will shield you if it sees danger coming that you don't recognize as danger.
Yeah.
So you're nearly unkillable with a charged ring.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Like, somebody was about to get sniped in the back of the head, and all of a sudden, like, the power went up over him, and there was like, nope, ain't doing that shit.
Yeah. Like, and then there's other things that you could do with the ring, like, you know you can't breathe in space, but you know that the ring can let you breathe in space.
Yep.
So you just put that green aura around you, and you say, I now know that because of this ring, I can live up there. And because you know it in your mind, and you see it as true, and you know the technology works, because you watch other people do it, they're flying around, so you know the ring can do it, and because you know the ring can do it, it becomes a universal power for all lanterns. Go do it.
Yep.
Go fly in space.
Go fly in space, go down underwater.
And then there's another universal concept. One universal concept that is mind-breaking is just how fast they really are. They know. The average lantern knows that light travels at the speed of light.
Go faster.
And if light travels at the speed of light, and their power is light, and they move in a ray of light, Mm-hmm. Well, because those concepts come together, lanterns do move at the speed of light, sometimes faster.
Yeah.
Because they're also saying, well, the ring itself and light moves at the speed of light. But light doesn't have the will to go faster. I want to go faster.
Yeah, it doesn't have the will nor the want to go faster.
So lanterns can move faster than the speed of light.
Yep.
Like, they're way more broken than some of the books allow you to see.
Yeah. Yeah, because you could get even more ridiculous with some of the other rings as well.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing, is reading 75 years of Green Lantern. And I'm skipping around. I'm reading the showcases one by one, and then I'm skipping, like, I'll skip up and read, like, The War of Light and shit like that, and then I'll go back and read more Showcase. Nice. That's the only thing I've been doing.
Other than trying to play DCUO and figuring out what games don't need to be on the shelf anymore.
Yeah, that's now that we've gone all podcast, that's a big deal to me, is to finally look through these games. And because there are games here that I will never play. I don't like Tekken. I don't like Tekken 2. I kept Tekken 3.
I figured you fucking would.
I like Tekken 3.
Yeah, I was about to say 3 wasn't bad.
But I can't stand the original two games. Like, I hate them. Why do I have them on the shelf? Like, it's one thing to be a collector. It's another thing to be a redundant collector.
Yeah, because I was confused, because when we first walked in, like, there's Shinobi in the box on the table, and I turned to Scotty, and I'm like, either he just picked this up, or he's going to sell it, and if he's selling it, I don't know why. That's a fun game to piss people off with. Be like, bet you can't
Here's
beat
why.
Shinobi.
Here's why. I only have one Mega Drive game, and that's Shinobi. And while I would keep it, I don't have a way to play it. And
it
I only
work
have
on the Retron?
Not without the adapter. There's a Mega Drive adapter that you need for the Retron 5.
I think it came out like months ago,
Wow, that's kind of fucked up.
And while I could buy it, I only have one game.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, considering the fact that like Shinobi is available on like
The marketplace.
I know it was on the marketplace for the 360, because that's how I got it and beat it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I guess you are right there.
And the other thing I could really do, and I guess I'm not endorsing this, but let's be honest, I could just get a Mega Drive emulator.
Yeah,
the system is so old now that if I have a chance to buy the game on the marketplace, I'll do it if it's a good game. But let's be honest, the system's like 30 years old or something?
Yeah.
So you know what? I'm not really tripping over it. I'll emulate it if nothing else. If I really need to play, if I'm aching for the playing of Shinobi 1, and actually I have Shinobi 1. It came on the Sega collection.
Sonic's
right.
Ultimate Sega Genesis.
So
collection.
I have it anyway.
Yeah,
I have Shinobi
true.
1, 2, and 3 on that.
Yeah,
along with
all the Golden Axe shit and everything. So yeah, you're
so,
right.
So yeah, I took it off the shelf. So, yeah, that was my... But like I kept Ms. Pac-Man because I'll play that, and sometimes Gwen plays it, so you know what? It's relevant. If it has even the slightest chance that it's going to get some playtime, like Bushido Blade 1 and 2, I kept those.
Yeah.
Because I like them. And I kept Battle Arena Toshiden 1, 2, and 3. Because while those are awful, awful games,
They're good, sure awful, are fun. Yeah.
But yeah, there are a couple games that they've outlived their usefulness. Like, we no longer need the video capture for them.
Yeah.
And there's no time in our near future that I can see where we're all going to sit down and play some of the games I put out there. Like who's up for a rousing game of Spy Hunter on the PS2 anytime this year?
Surprisingly, I would be down for that more than Spy Hunter on the NES.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So it's just irrelevant to me to have that game.
But you still have RoboCop for the NES sitting in there. I mean, come on. You're not going to want to play RoboCop for the NES?
No.
I would be.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
I'll give that to you. I don't like that game.
I was about to say, I would rather play...
I think it's on like my list of NES games to get anyway.
That's fine.
Yeah,
you can have it.
I was about to say, I would rather play RoboCop versus Terminator on the Super.
Now, I liked that.
That was actually pretty fun. It's a pain in the dick, but it's fun.
Yeah. So that's why the shelf is changing. But we have hit our hour. We have exceeded our hour. So I think, unless anybody's got anything else.
No.
All right, we're done here. Hey, guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.